Lord, you're awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome God. Awesome, mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Mighty God. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for sending your word. You sent your word and healed our disease. Thank you for sending the gospel to us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you, Lord, that you have healed and delivered us from the disease of sin, the leprosy of sin. Thank you, Lord, that you have broken us free and set us free from the power of sin. We are no longer slaves of sins, but we are children of the Most High God. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. You are not a slave if you're in Christ. You're not a slave to sin. You're an overcomer because the overcomer is in you and he is greater. You just receive his grace every day to walk in that victory that he's already accomplished for us. Thank you, Father. God wants us to look forward. Look forward to his promise. In Philippians 3 and verse 13 and 14, Paul said, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, verse 14, I press towards the goal. And that word press means to pursue. How many here are pursuing God? How many realize that those who receive God's kingdom are not the passive? The passive will not receive God's kingdom, but those who earnestly seek it. Those who will stop at nothing to obtain the promises of God. How many know that we are to pursue, we are to seek the Lord? How many know that requires action to seek the Lord? We are receptacles. We are to receive of His grace. But we have to focus or turn our heart's affection towards Him. We must turn to the Lord and we must come before God with an offering. You never come before a king without an offering. So we come to Him and we offer our lives back to Him. We offer our praise. Amen. Our reasonable service to give Him our bodies and our praises. Amen. Yes. To come before God with the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And we should do so because He is worthy of it. And when we praise God, remember what happens is God's presence fills the atmosphere, man. Where there's praise, He will be. So if we're praising God, He will show up. If you're complaining, guess who else will show up? So we want to shift away from complaining to praising, amen? To blessing and not cursing. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that word vision means, it's chazon, it means sight. That is a dream, revelation, or oracle. And the word perish means to go back, or in some translations it says to cast off restraint. Where there's no sight, where there's no dream, vision, or oracle from God, where there's no really understanding of my purpose, who I am, where I'm going, what God is doing, when there's no oracle, there's no revelation of that, then we go back. Are you with me? We begin to fall back. And we begin to cast off restraint. Why? Because we lose sight of our purpose. When we lose sight of our purpose. We lose sight of our purpose when we lose sight of our purpose. So God wants us to know who we are, where we're going, what He has made freely available to us. But it's something that doesn't come because we're passive about it. It means that we have to press in to receive what God has. How many know that there is opposition anytime you set your heart to seek God? The enemy wants to step in between you. Amen. Anytime God wants to take you to the next level, you're going to face a new giant. But God wants us to know who we are and that He has given us the weapons of our warfare, amen, which are mighty in God. They're not of us, they're of Him, to destroy strongholds, amen, demolish strongholds, to bring down all the works of the enemy. And every giant that steps in our way, we, by the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, amen, can bring them down. But you have to fight and you have to press in to receive the promise. Israel was given the promise, amen, that someday they were going to receive as an inheritance the land that was flowing with milk and honey. But they had to deal with giants. They had to deal, amen, also with many temptations in the wilderness. We have to be a people who are not looking back to Egypt, but looking forward to God's promise. And my question to you today is, do you have a God-given vision for your life? Do you have a God-given vision for your life? Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know why God has saved you and called you? You've got to know what God's purpose is for you in particular. That you must be filled with that knowledge of the will of God in Christ that concerns you. We need to know, what is God saying? What is God calling me to? Because if you don't, you will very quickly begin to fall back or look back. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have vision, then the average thing that people do is we look back. Are you with me? The reason why people fall back or backslide is because they lose sight of where they're going. Because they lose sight of what God has done in them and for them. They lose sight of who they are. They have an identity crisis. Well, maybe I fit with this group. Maybe I fit with that group over there. You know? May I hang out with this clique or that clique? Well, I'm of this persuasion or that persuasion. I'm of Apollos and I'm of Cephas. I'm of Peter, you know, and I'm of Christ. We start to chase after rabbits. Are you with me? If we don't understand our purpose and our corporate vision as well, God has called us together as a body. God's got a personal responsibility for you and I. Amen. But it's to be part of something bigger than we are. It's part of the body of Christ to work together for His purposes to be accomplished. How many have discovered that in God's presence there is fullness of joy? And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is pleasurable. God is good. God is desirable. God is desirable, is He not? Right? To experience God is to experience the ultimate in pleasure. Idolatry is choosing lesser things over Him. God knows what we have need of, and He knows how we're wired. He gave us emotions, and how many know your emotions can be blessed by God too? Amen. But as a result of our spirit and our heart being in right standing with God, then the soul or the emotions and the will, amen, and the mind will come into order as well. And you'll experience the pleasure of God. Amen. You get that good feeling. Hallelujah. We have to be careful about chasing after just good feelings, because your feelings can deceive you. But if you're chasing and pursuing God, how many know that feeling, that good feeling will be pure? It'll be from Him. So where there's no vision, we have a tendency to fall back into our old ways. Israel in the wilderness began to fall back. What happened? They began to turn back in their hearts to Egypt. They begin to look back and say, wow, remember how good it was in Egypt? How many know that the same thing happens to us today, that we can forget how rotten it was in Egypt? How rotten that old life was? But if the enemy can deceive us into thinking that it was better then than it is now, then we'll begin to look back. And once we start looking back, we're in trouble. And the reason why we look back is because we have lost sight of where we're going. God wants to renew your vision. God wants to restore your vision. God wants to return to us sight. so that we will once again recalibrate our lives to Him and His purpose. We will be in a place where He will be our all in all. We are once again infatuated with Him. We are in awe of Him. We are like the child that is in wonder of the glories of God and say, what else? What's behind that door? And what's behind that door? Because God has treasure that we don't even know of that's available to us if we will press in. Amen. Well, nothing ever happens to me. Well, start praising Him. If you and I are in Christ today, then I want you to hear this. God has already placed within you dreams and visions that are godly, that are His desire. Our problem is not a lack of vision, but a loss of hope while waiting on the vision. It's not a lack of vision so often as much as it is a loss of hope while we are waiting on the promise. Amen. Has God spoken to you? Has God given you a prophetic word over your life? Has God spoke to you through dreams, maybe given you a vision of what He is calling you to and where He wants you to be? Has God spoken to you through His Word and said, this is what I'm calling you to. This is your responsibility. This is your assignment. This is your destiny. Has God spoken to you? If God has spoken to you, then we need to hold on to that word that He's spoken to us. And we need to pursue that promise. They had to move. They had to move from point A to point B. Amen. And many times even. To get to the promised land. The problem was is that most of them, as you remember, did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Because of broken focus. They lost sight of where they were going. Who they were, who God was, even after the miracles that they experienced, the mighty wonders of God, they quickly forgot and began to actually think that life was better in Egypt, and they had forgotten that they were in slavery and in bondage, and they were miserable in that place. And where they were was actually, even though it was a wilderness, it was still superior because God's presence was with them. He was their comfort. He was the fire by night, amen, and the cloud by day. And if we lose focus, folks, if we have broken focus, we need to get recalibrated. We need to get refocused, and we need to go back to that old landmark. We need to return to our first love and say, Lord, where did I get off? Where did I get off track? How did I lose my passion? How did I lose my focus? God, I want to get back to that place where my whole world revolves around You and not around me. God wants to resurrect that vision He gave you. We get discouraged sometimes because things are not happening as quickly as we expect. Sometimes our expectations are off, you know. Our timetable is not always His. God has a time for everything, doesn't He? And sometimes we put expectations on God for certain timetables of things that are supposed to happen within a short time. Has anybody received a prophetic word years ago or a word from the Lord as you were praying and God spoke to you about something and you were looking for it to happen within a couple days? And nothing. I can remember I've had some promises that were over 25 years ago that God is just now bringing into my life. How many know that we need to wait on God's time? Because in His time, if He's given you a promise, and if you don't lose heart, don't lose focus, don't give up, don't quit, keep pressing in, pressing on, keep believing God like Abraham, you will see the promise, amen, that God has made to you. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, this is one of the minor prophets, he spoke about writing the vision down, making it plain so those who read it could run. But he says, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Not our time, but God's time. But he said this, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. How many know that Moses foresaw God using him to deliver Israel out of bondage? That didn't happen until 40 years later, after he received the promise. It was 40 years before that happened. God, in the meantime, was conditioning and preparing everything, including Moses, for the time when he would step up to the plate and be in his assignment, in his season. Are you with me? You and I can have true hope in our hearts. We can have a genuine vision burning in us, and yet we can lose hope because so many years have gone by since we've received the vision, and nothing seems to have come out of it. Has anybody here just felt like there's some promises in your life that have just died? Yeah. Well, guess what? God is not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper. However, when he promises us something, it's something that we have to also press in and appropriate. We have to receive. We have to grab a hold of what God is giving. Because if we sit around and wait one of these days, how many times have we heard it said? Maybe you said it. Well, I must be here for a purpose, for a reason. I could have died several times in my life, and yet God saved me, and so there must be a reason for why I'm here. How many know that that is not good enough? To just know there's some kind of purpose, some kind of reason for my life. I don't know what it is, but I'm 90 years old now, and there must be a reason for my life. Or he still got me here. Come on, we've seen a lot of older people in their last years, you know. In some cases, folks, it was because the opportunity had passed them by, because in the time when they were supposed to get a hold of what God had promised them, they let it slip by because they had broken focus. In other cases, the promises came as it did with Abraham when he was, 100 years old? When he was past childbearing time, and Sarah too? That God finally, it was 25 years from the time that God had promised him a son before the actual fulfillment. How many know 25 years is a long time to wait when somebody comes up to you and you're a young person and say, you're going to have a child. God says you're going to have a child. Great. Awesome. We start getting the nursery ready, you know, and 25 years. Menopause, the whole thing, you know, they went through all that. But then God, because it says that Abraham didn't lose focus. He continued. It says in Romans 4:18, contrary to hope, chapter 4, verse 18 of Romans, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations. So what did he do? He says, I'm not going to live by what it appears to be. I'm going to believe what God promised. It looks hopeless, but God gave me a promise, and God is a promise keeper. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And verse 19, it says, Abraham was not being weak in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He did not waver at the promise through unbelief. Have we ever wavered? But was strengthened in faith, how? Giving glory to God. Everybody say, give glory to God. Don't complain. Don't blame God. Give glory to God. Thank God for the promises in your life. Thank God that you have a destiny. Amen. Thank God that he has made a way for you to get there. And don't complain, but praise him instead. Give glory to God. How many know praise makes the journey a whole lot better? Amen. Though it tarries, wait for it. Now, we're talking about forward vision. God gives promises. God gives vision. He shows us things that are to come. In John 16 and verse 13, it says the Holy Spirit would tell us of future things. Jesus said, "When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority." How many know a true prophet never speaks on their own authority? "But whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." So what is one of the Holy Spirit's ministries? To show us things to come. On the day of Pentecost, Peter made mention of this. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. He said, "This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams." You understand that there comes a time of maturity in the Lord where you become a father. And there's a time when you're a young man and then you're a child. You're a babe. Amen. There are different levels. And a father is one who is of mature age and visionary experience to where he will receive a dream. All right? Are you hearing? A dream. And he can impart that dream to a young man in the Lord. Are you with me? And he can run with the vision. How many know God wants to reconnect the generations? God wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. God wants us to pay attention to our little ones. Amen? And those who are younger, biologically, but especially in the faith. Amen? That we will impart into one another the life of God. Amen? The truth that God has imparted into us. So you and I, we may have seen a vision or maybe a spoken word from the Lord. But God does give us indications of things that are going to come. Would you say amen to that? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." But look at verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." In other words, God wants you to know His will for your life. God wants to reveal to you what your future is supposed to look like. God wants to impart to you a vision, an eternal vision of your destiny so that you will know how to prepare yourself in the now. How many know that it takes preparation to reach the goals that God sets for your life? Give me an example. If God calls you to preach, you've got to make preparation, amen? Between the call and the actual fulfillment, there may be a period of years, there should be. Amen? Because there needs to be preparation. That requires action. How many know faith without works or action is dead faith? It's not about being passive, it's about actively pursuing God's promises. Actively pursuing God's promises. When we worship, we should be actively pursuing God. We should be pursuing His presence. We should be calling out to Him. We should be offering praise to Him. We should be bringing an offering before our Father. Amen. We should be pursuing His heart. Not passively sitting around hoping something's going to happen. It's kind of like the man at the pool of Bethesda who sat around there hoping one of these days the angel of the Lord is going to come and trouble the waters. And when the waters are troubled, we'll come in. What he needed was Jesus. And Jesus showed up on the scene. Amen? Amen. They didn't have to wait on the angel. You just need to call on Jesus and seek Him. God wants to reveal to you your destiny, where you're supposed to go, what it's supposed to look like. Are you hearing me today? God gave them a promise of the land. Amen. Beforehand, He says it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. Now your imagination can just kind of run wild. I wonder what it's going to look like. And it's probably a little different in every mind. But God gives you a picture of where your destiny is. Amen. Where you're supposed to go. What you're supposed to achieve. And on the way there, there are going to be oppositions, there are going to be testings, there are going to be some difficulties, but at the same time, there's going to be the provision of manna and water. God's going to make sure that you're comforted by His presence, amen, and reassured, and then you don't give up on the brink of a miracle, amen. And Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not faint. God wants you and I to be men and women of vision. Because where there's no vision, folks, people perish. Can you think about maybe someone you know? Who maybe they're a child of God. But they never went anywhere. They never accomplished anything. Are you hearing me today? Because they didn't have vision. They didn't know where they were going. They just kind of sat and spun. Are you with me? Just in one spot doing the same old thing. I don't know. God's got a purpose for me for some reason. I don't know why I'm here. Otherwise, He would have taken me home. Yeah, God wants you to discover that purpose. And being passive is not the way to receive God's promise. You must diligently seek Him. For God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Job was a visionary. He foresaw Jesus, the Redeemer, coming to the earth. Isaiah, remember, he saw the Lord on His throne, high and lifted up, and it changed his life. Daniel, he saw future kings and kingdoms for centuries to come. David was the one who saw the Messiah, Jesus, coming through his lineage, through his family line. God wants us, folks, to get a hold of His promise. To get a vision from Him. To get, amen, our marching orders. This is where you're going. How many know heaven is our goal? Amen? Amen. Jesus is our goal. Yeah. We're marching to Zion. We are living for that reality, which is a superior reality. Oh, the devil wants to distract you. He wants you to go back to Egypt in your mind. He wants to choke and rob you from your destiny. He wants to take away from you that which God wants to give you. By getting you distracted. To break your focus so that you lose sight of where you're going. And when we lose sight of where we're going, we start to look back and we start to say, well, remember those old times? With my buddies in the boat. For medicinal purposes only. Yeah. Yeah. We got to get rid of everything and anything that would hinder us in reaching our destiny. I'll say it again. We've got to get rid of everything and anything that will hinder you and I from reaching our destiny. Here, we have no continuing city. This life is a vapor. This life is temporary. We're going somewhere, folks. Our goal, amen, is Jesus. Our goal is heaven. We're living for that reality, that superior reality. Even in the now, God says, I want you to pray for my kingdom here, my kingdom to come and my will to be done. As it is in heaven, let heaven come to earth. Amen. Even as we're walking through this journey, God supernaturally will take care of you. He'll provide for you. But He wants to reveal His glory through you and I to this sin-sick world. Are you with me? He wants us to light up the night. He wants us to be the salt and the light. He wants to reveal His glory through us to the world. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Those are those hindrances. They're not necessarily sins. They're just things that bog you down in your journey. Are you with me? There are things that may be, they're not necessarily bad things, but they're things that are just choking you and preventing you from being freed up to run this race set before you with endurance. and the sin, which is the obvious one, amen, that so easily besets us. We've got to get rid of anything and everything that would hinder us in our journey, in our walk. Why? Because where we're going is such a superior reality to what we're in right now that we should not try to make this world our home. Too many Christians today and too much of the theology today revolves around this temporary life here. How to have it all now. How to have your best life now. God is saying, I'm getting you ready for something that is superior to this. Right now, you are in the dressing room of eternity. You are in the boot camp, amen, right now. But in this time of training and equipping and preparing, I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to make you beautiful. You're going to be a strapped soldier, amen. You're going to look good. And we're not going to be just parade soldiers, amen, that walk around with our boots shine, where he wants us to be combat soldiers, amen, so we can go and destroy the works of the devil. Amen. God doesn't want us to be the victims. He overcame the world so we can be victorious. His grace is enough for us. His grace is sufficient for us. We've just got to pursue him, seek him, call on him, worship him, allow him to fill our lives with his power, amen. It's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Because we and I are living in this culture of instant gratification. I want it now. I want to go through the drive-up window and get it now. I don't want to have to wait for it. But yet, when it comes to God's promises, we have to be patient. Patient endurance. Not just patience, but patient endurance. We've got to be patient, and we're going to have to endure opposition. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to press through, press on. But you're not going to be doing it on your own. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, if you yoke up with me, if you link up with me, you will find my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not something that you're struggling with. It's something that you're just walking together with Jesus. There's going to be some movement, amen, on our part. He's not going to drag us along. You walk a yoke, amen, if you're yoked up with two oxen, they're both having to walk, right? However, Jesus is a stronger one. And Jesus wants to get us to a place where we are like him, where we've been strengthened because we have exercised together and walked together with the Lord, and we've become like our master. Are you with me? Some of you today may be in your God-given vision right now. You're in that place where all the time, the preparations to the promises and the things in your life, you're just now into that place where you're actually living out or walking out your vision that God had given you. Others, it's going to require waiting. This is where we get into trouble. We get impatient. We try to get ahead of God. Abraham got tired of waiting. Years had gone by. He gave me a promise. Well, maybe God wants me to help him with it. So he had an Ishmael. He tried to make happen what God said he would do. So we've got to be patient. We've got to wait on God. But we need to know the season that we're in. There are opportunities. There are windows of opportunity. God opens up a season for us, an opportunity that we need to seize in that moment when the door is open. Are you hearing me? And if we're passive, we'll miss it. But if we get ahead of God, we're going to try to grasp a hold of something that we're not ready for. So the key is to daily, daily walk with God. Daily be faithful to God. Daily do what God has put in front of you. The little thing, the little task, the prayer, amen? The witnessing, the tithing, the giving, the whatever it is God's called you to do. Be faithful in little. What he's given you today to do. Just listen to his voice. And if you're faithful in little, he'll make you ruler of much. Hebrews 6:11, Paul said, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. That word also means lazy. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured, he received the promise. After he had patiently endured, Abraham obeyed God's instructions to leave his land and his people and go to another land that God wasn't very specific about, but he gave him enough light to know what he needed to do, and God would show him. Abraham obeyed, and having done this, he received the promised son Isaac 25 years later, after he obeyed the instruction of the Lord to leave that land. Are you with me? Where of his kindred. The key is little steps of obedience every day. Amen. God will give you a picture. He will give you a vision. You'll know that goal. But the process of getting to that goal, to that vision, amen, to completing that, is going to be in your everyday step-by-step walk of being faithful to the Lord. Hallelujah. And if we get off track, thank God he has a way of recalibrating us. Amen. How many are getting recalibrated today? We have to wait on God, but we have to wait on him in a proactive way. Amen. Because, again, faith without actions is dead. Ephesians 5:17 says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I'll give you an example here. Raising godly children. Well, the world says, just let the children raise themselves. You don't want to, you know, wound their fragile ego by telling them they can't have, you know, they can't play with the, you know, with the fire. They can't dance in traffic, you know. We don't want to break their fragile ego, you know, by telling them they can't do those things. Are you with me? So we just resolve to let the child raise themselves. How many see the fruit of children raising themselves going on right now around us? Huh? We are in lawless times. There's no respect for authority. Everybody just wants to do what they want to do, irregardless of who it hurts in the process. And yet, God said there's a purpose for that child being in your household. It's that you may raise them in my ways. Amen? That they may be brought up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That you should train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Amen? That it's our responsibility to take active steps while we're waiting for the finished result, which is a mature adult. Amen? That's going to be productive. That's going to be godly. Amen? God-fearing. And so what has to happen? Well, we have to feed our children. Amen? We have to love our children. We have to encourage our children. And yeah, we have to discipline our children. We have to be there for them. And we have to, most importantly, be an example. Be an example to our kids. That's the biggest thing that they learn right there. They're watching how we live. How about a healthy marriage, folks? So many of us enter into the covenant. We get into this thing without really understanding roles, purpose, you know. How are we going to work this out together? What about finances? What about children? What about sex? What about these things that we need to consider before you ever get started? There has to be preparation before you get married. And even as you're married and as you're working together, you should be constantly building, strengthening, loving, encouraging, respecting one another. Amen? And within that relationship. So that you will grow healthy together, and through the years you will be seasoned even by one another. You will hone one another, and together you're one flesh and you'll become beautiful together. But it doesn't happen because somebody got together and just thought, oh, he's so wonderful. Oh, he's, you know, she's so beautiful. And you got together, and after a while it's like, you know, the makeup runs off and, you know, the laws of gravity start to kick in, and I'll leave it at that. Shingles come off the roof, you know. But what you're looking for is to connect in the heart. Amen. Connect at the heart. And to develop and to build your relationship. It has to be a proactive waiting on your marriage to become beautiful. You get married. How many have always thought when you got married, we're just so in love? You know, the pastor really was one of my mentors, Pastor Mitchell. He would counsel people like this. He says, "Well, why do you want to get married?" And they'll say, "Well, because we're in love." He says, "No, you're not. You're experiencing an emotional buzz right now. Come on. I'm not saying that there's no love. What he's trying to do is he's trying to shift their thinking away for thinking that it's always going to be like this buzz you're in right now." Amen. And I do counsel people when they get married. I said, don't ever lose that buzz, by the way. Right? Keep the fire alive. Amen. But the thing is this, is that a marriage has to be worked on. You have to be proactive in, amen, receiving the end, which is a healthy, happy marriage. It requires, and you know this as well, both of you working together. If one is not willing to work with the other, then there's a problem. Bottom line, folks, is that we've got to look forward, don't look back. Jesus said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Israelites kept looking back, and God was upset with them. They forgot about their slavery and their bondage, and as a result, they came under God's judgment. I don't know about you, but I don't want to come under God's judgment. I'm His son, I'm His servant, but I don't want to come under my Father's judgment because I keep grieving Him. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was speaking to the church when he says, pay attention to what Israel did so that you don't follow in the same example of unbelief. And he's saying we've got to keep our eyes upon Jesus. We've got to get a vision from God. How do you get a vision from God? Well, you need to ask. You need to seek. Amen. You need to knock. You say, Lord God, make clear to me. Do you want to know the best way? Go back to the day when you were born again and the light came on and everything became so clear. Is at that time you really had a clear picture of your destiny. You were excited. The future was bright. You had goals. You had dreams that were there. And somehow along the way, we've lost focus over the years and things have come in and distracted us. And now we're kind of living. So many are living just like the world. They're not living like they're going to go somewhere for eternity. Are you with me? We need to refocus, recalibrate. Understand that our destiny is not this world. It is heaven. It is Jesus. Amen. To see Him in that day and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Pressing on. Pressing on. Ah, we're fixing our eyes on You. We're fixing our eyes upon the prize. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're not turning back. No looking back. We sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Do you have a God-given vision for your life? I'm going to finish with this. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen? It's not in vain in the Lord. And Father, I'm asking right now, in the name of Jesus, that You begin to impart vision right now to Your people, that You will begin to open up, Lord, our understanding, open up the heart's eyes, that we may see clearly, that once again, Lord, You'll refire us, that You'll recalibrate us, Lord, that once again, You will focus us in, Lord, on the thing that You have called us to do for You in this world, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You right now. I thank You right now for the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Folks, nothing is more important to me than my relationship with Jesus. Nothing is more important to me that I see and hear Jesus say in that day, well done. Nothing is more important that I have listened to His voice, and that I have done what He called me to do. You have time, you have opportunity right now just to seek Him. Get on your face before God. Kneel down and say, God, I need you to show me who I am. Where am I going? Lord, I'm asking you to help me get free from every tether to Egypt. Break off every chain, Lord, every sin and every distraction and those weights and those things that are hindering me from reaching my destination. Lord, there's nothing more important to me than your will. God, I want everything you have for me. Father, I realize I haven't arrived. Father, I realize that there's much work to be done in me. Lord, I even in my own life, there needs to be calibration. There needs to be setting things straight, setting things in order. Lord, I want to know who I am.